The benefits of data mining are infinite. You can use them wherever you want. You can use them in whatever type of decision making you want to do. Few of the things that we can understand via benefits of data mining is, it can help companies to get knowledge-based information that this is what is happening with your business. You can understand the profitable adjustment in the operation and the production. As an example, there are certain things or certain activities, if you avoid, you might get more profit. If in case you are able to identify such patterns, you will be able to convert those costs into actually profit matrices. Then you can do cost effective and efficient solutions. As an example, if there are 10 lakh people whom you are communicating the sale, instead of that, you find more appropriate people which are less in number but still generate the same amount of sales. You will be able to save your cost in the advertising campaigns or communication campaigns. It will also help you in correct decision making or more appropriate decision making. It can automate the predictions and can help you identify what will happen in the future. It can be implemented in the new systems or it can be existing systems. If in case it is a new system, you can straight away start using the new systems to take the decision appropriately, or if you are incorporating it into the existing system, your existing systems will start giving you more output. And it's a speedy process. If you have skilled laborers, you will be able to easily create these outcomes in a short span of time. So you don't need years and years to actually establish business analytics processes in a company and ultimately leading to the proper decision making. With advantages, there comes disadvantages as well, and there are a few disadvantages as well. Like, there are chances of company may sell useful information of their customer to the other companies for money. If your information is being collected, it can be sold to some other different company which can leverage out your information, and ultimately they are selling you as a product. As an example, there are many online platforms which takes your information and sell it to a most appropriate seller, which can utilize those information in pitching you the products that you're looking for. There are many softwares or tools which are difficult to manage, and you have to actually spend time to learn those tools first, then only you can use them for doing analysis. The selection of the data is very, very important step, because if your data goes wrong, everything goes wrong. It's a raw material to what you are doing, and if your raw material is going wrong, you will actually be doing the wrong analysis altogether. And if such things are happening, it can cause serious issues to your final business outcomes. Let's discuss about data mining applications. We have discussed so many things, how these things will be used and how these things will be leveraged. Let's discuss few of the applications wherein you can utilize data mining activities or data analysis activities. Communication. In communication channels, you can understand where is your targeted campaign or where you should do targeted campaign, where you will get more results. In insurance, you can identify the more insurance areas or which are the profitable products you have, which are the risky products you have. In education, you can actually utilize these informations in these data mining activities to understand how to improvise on the business or on the students' performance. If there are certain set of students who are not performing well, what best you can do for them, how you can improve their performances, what are the weaker areas of the students. In banking, you can identify the more risky areas, because risk factor is an important factor in the banking industry. So data mining activities can actually help you leverage out those activities. Then in retail, you can utilize these activities in identifying the patterns or the associations, the products which get sold together, the product which doesn't impact at all, or the products which are sold in isolations, the products which goes hand in hand. Then the service providers can use it for the further drilling down of the customer behavior, how they can provide the services to the consumer, what are the different type of component that they are seeking, where that consumer is seeking with respect to their services. E-commerce companies can leverage out the understanding of which are the products which are mostly preferred on their channel, their selling channel. What are the things that can be upselled? What are the things that can be cross-sells? If somebody is buying a product of 500 rupees, how can you make them buy a product of 600 rupees? That is what your upsell is. If somebody is buying a product A, how can you sell that person product B? That is basically cross sell. In crime investigations, you can use where are the areas where most of the crime can happen, and then you can plan your police force accordingly or workforce accordingly. Bioinformatics can help you identify the by taking the biological detail and then comparing it with the appropriate consumer. And let's suppose few people have the similar blood type and you analyze those things, then you can understand what are the different type of consumer which can help a particular patient. Association and sequence identification is one of the components of data mining activities. Association, as we discussed, is a pattern wherein if a product A sells with product B, they are driving each other, or there could be one driver product and the other one is driven product. Driven product is bought when the driver product gets sold. So if somebody is buying a shirt, he is more likely to buy a trouser as well. So in this case, shirt is a driver product and trouser is a driven product which goes along with driver product. Then there are sequential data minings, in which if a product A goes, in sequence product B goes. As an example, if somebody is booking a flight, he might book a hotel room as well. So if somebody is completely successfully completing the booking of a flight, you can offer him a hotel room at a comparative rates. So you can bring more profit out of a single transaction. Association rules are those rules wherein you try to identify the patterns between two products. To give you an example, as I told you that shirt goes with trousers, so they have an association with each other. Now these associations are identified using one of the famous technique known as market basket analysis, which decides the association using three components. Those three components are support, confidence and lift. Support means in how many transactions your combination is appearing. Confidence means if one product sells, what are the chances that other product also sells. And lift means how these two products goes hand in hand. So if these three attributes are showing you good results or showing you higher value, then that means the two products goes with each other very well. And if there are two products which goes with each other very in a nice manner, they can actually be used in cross-selling activities. In sequential patterns, we try to understand what are the components which sold after one product is sold. So once one product is complete, what are the chances that second product will also be bought. So sequential activities can actually help you identify the sequence product behavior. If product A, if flight is booked, hotel will be booked. If hotel is booked, then activities will be booked. So if such things are happening and you are able to identify such patterns, then that industry or travel industry can actually bring out more profit by selling each and every component sequentially. The person has already bought flight, let's offer him a hotel room. If he has already booked a hotel room, let's offer him a activity. If he has gone for activities, you have actually sold the three products to a same consumer. Now text mining, as we discussed, is an important attribute and we have unstructured data to deal with. In text mining, what happens is you have a completely unstructured type of data wherein your data is completely into form of words, which could be a sentence or just a single word. It will have a number of random words which has no sequence, will have a uppercase or lowercase issues, which have a special symbols issues. There will be some special characters which will be added. Hashtags will be added, @ will be added, and so many things will be happening. So once you are going into text mining, what you will be doing is you will be first extracting the information out of the platform. It could be any platform. It could be Facebook tweets, it could be Twitters, it could be blogs, it could be any call center data. Once you take that data, you will be trying to clean that data. Once you clean that data, while cleaning, what you will be doing is you will be taking out the special characters, you will be changing their cases to have a uniform case structure, because upper cases and lower cases are two different things in various platforms or various languages, and you don't want to mess up with that. Then you will be removing all the anomalies. There are certain words which are not useful at all. The special words like the, a, and all these words are not at all useful with respect to the analysis, but yes, they are important with respect to the sentence making. So you will be removing such words, you will be removing the numbers if numbers are not making sense. You will be removing the special characters like percentages, hash, which are not making sense to you. After removing all those information, you will be converting a final data which has cleaned textual information in the final data set that you have prepared. Once your data is prepared, you will be cleaning the data, you will be identifying the data. Once your data is identified and cleaned and extracted, when you will be doing text mining, there are various activities that you can do and there are various tools which can help you in identifying those things. First is retrieval. You will be retrieving few of the unstructured information out of this. There are few tools which are used for such purposes like Intelligent Miner, Text Analyst and many more. There you will be doing data extraction of unstructured data. There few of the tools are Text Finder, Clear Forest Text. You will be doing text summarizations wherein you can use tracking tool, SentenceX tool. You will be doing categorization of that unstructured data, which could be document based categorization like this. There are n number of topics and you are identifying one of the document for each of those. Then you can use Intelligent Miner. Then you will be clustering the similar type of text information that you have. You can use Rapid Miner for the same, Carrot for the same. So text mining techniques, these are the few of the groups that you will be doing. There are many, many activities that you do while doing text mining. When you're clustering and when you're cleaning the data, when you're combining the data, when you're finding the associations, when you're doing the classifications. One of the few examples of classification is topic modeling, wherein you try to identify the topic for the particular paragraph that you have. All these activities can also be converted or can be leveraged out using a single tool known as Python or R, which have all the capabilities to manage such data. Even SAS miner can be used for the same purpose. The applications of text mining involves various activities like risk management. You can identify the risk factors using SAS text miner or various other text miners. You can do customer care service. So if a customer is giving you feedbacks, you will be able to understand what are the major issues with respect to the customer feedback and what are the common things that are happening. So once you analyze that textual or unstructured data, you will be able to understand what are the difficulties that are happening and how you can utilize those or how you can take action appropriately. You can use it for fraud detection. So if somebody is entering certain information and utilizing it, you can actually identify the frauds out of it. Business intelligence, in business intelligence it can be used. So if somebody is entering information which is textual in nature, you can find out the important words and then can use it for the intelligence purposes. Social media analysis these days is one of the major factor where text mining is used. Social media is completely full of random text and all those data are completely unstructured in nature. So once you are able to identify those unstructured patterns, you convert them and you identify the trends out of it, you will be able to understand how feedbacks are going on. One of the key applicability of this is sentiment analysis, wherein on a social media platform, somebody tries to give sentiments about a certain movie. And out of those sentiments, feedbacks, you try to understand whether people are giving positive feedbacks with respect to movie or negative feedbacks with respect to movies. Then we move on to the forecasting techniques. Forecasting technique basically, which involves regression or time series forecasting, are usually the quantitative measures of analyzing data. With quantitative means you will be mostly dealing with the numbers. In text you usually deals with the textual information, but here you use numerical forms. So any data which have information with respect to the numbers can easily be utilized using forecasting and can be used in identifying the forecasting trends and further can be used for prediction purposes. There are few financial forecasting methods like qualitative model includes market research wherein polling activities happens. Once polling activities are happening, you can leverage out which are the polls which are favoring certain activities. Then Delphi methods wherein field experts are asked for certain information and those informations are captured and then analyzed further. Then further it removes the human elements out of the analysis. So when you have human elements, they can create some sort of biasness. Those biasness, if removed, can give you more appropriate manners. Then there are modeling techniques that will be used while forecasting. A few of the techniques are econometric modeling, wherein you will be applying the regression techniques or the forecasting methods to identify the future trends and understand what can happen in future with respect to the data. The time series methods, basically time series way of analyzing a future trend or prediction of future trend, are known as time series methods. There are various types of time series methods which uses the continuous sequence of the patterns of the data by identifying the trend pattern in the data, a cyclical pattern. Cyclical pattern means if your data is moving up, whether it will go down, if it is going down, whether it will go up. If it is going, giving you a continuous pattern of up and down, it is a cyclical pattern. Then it also understands whether you have a seasonality factor involved in your data. Seasonality means every winter season your sales goes up, every summer season your sales goes down. So if it is a continuous pattern, then you can say it is a seasonal pattern. Then there is a noise pattern in the time series data. Noise pattern basically means if there is some randomness in the data. So if there is too much of the randomness, you will have to smooth it out. Otherwise, it can be captured directly. So all these are a way of identifying the trend with respect to the forecasting. How does your forecasting works? So first of all, you will be identifying the data point that you need to understand. Then you will be converting a data set which can be used for further. Then you will assume a time interval for which you will be analyzing the data. As an example, let's suppose you are taking a last 25 years time period to understand a sales pattern. That 25 years time frame will be the time period for your analysis. Then you will be choose a model to which is more appropriate with respect to the data that you have. As an example, when you are doing a time series model, you will be using a forecasting model. It could be your Holt Winters method, which is one of the example or one of the way of doing time series forecasting. You might be doing ARIMA model. ARIMA is one famous technique in time series model, wherein you try to understand how your data moves with respect to the time. Once your model is finalized, you will be analyzing the output of the model, and then you will be doing verification of the model. Forecasting is a very good technique, but there are few problems which are there with respect to the forecasting. Once your data becomes old and you start showing unusual pattern, it becomes difficult to find out the trend out of it. It is almost impossible to identify or factor in the anomalies that you see in the data. So if your anomalies is happening too much, it can impact the trend of the data, and your forecast can integrate its own impact or own problem. So let's suppose you have a trend which is an upward trend, and all of a sudden your forecasting number of data points are causing your data to move in different direction. So you might notice a completely different type of trend than the usual one. Then you have predictive analytics techniques which are used to predict the future of the values, which could be future sales, future consumer behavior, future identification of the products. All these are a component of predictive analytics. So to simplify it further, predictive analytics is a kind of a technique wherein you use historical data to predict something for the future. It could be a value or it could be a trend. If it is a trend, then it is a time series forecasting. If it is a value, then it is a predictive analytic technique. You use the insights of the older data and then use it to further define the future data. You have a variable to identify in predictive analytics to understand what could be its future value. You will be doing data collection and mining activities while building predictive analytics model. Your data collection activity is an important activity because you will be collecting all the variables that you use to create final model. Once your data is collected, you will mine it to create a proper identification of the relationship between a dependent variable and your independent variables. The dependent variable is the variable which is the outcome variable, and independent variables are those variables which are helping you to identify the values of dependent variable. And it's an important activity to clean your data before creating a final model. There are various predictive analytics techniques which are used to develop predictive analytics models. Few of those techniques are linear regression, logistic regression, decision tree. Decision tree is basically a type of flow chart wherein at each and every value of a variable, your node changes and you ultimately reach to a particular solution that you will be reaching to this value via a certain path. So it has branches and leaves. Leaves are the final nodes wherein you will reach to the final solution, and in between the paths decides what type of values you have, and basis your values in which path you will be going. Then there are predictive analytics technique with respect to the text analysis. Text analysis again takes you to the final outcome. The only difference is here your independent variable will have a lot of textual information or textual data which needs different type of cleaning activities. Few of the application of text analysis prediction algorithm is sentiment analysis, wherein you try to identify the sentiment of the consumer with respect to a product. So when you will be creating a prediction model using the textual data, and the output will be whether a consumer is liking the product or not liking the product, that is known as a sentiment analysis. And then there are simple predictive analytics model like linear regression, wherein you are trying to identify the sale of value or price of a particular commodity, various attributes of the product which impacts the final price. As an example, if there is a house whose price is dependent on various things like the square feet of the house, the number of bedrooms, the number of bathrooms, the area that it has. So once you have all the component, you will be able to predict the price of the house using the model like linear regression. Then there are optimization activities that you need to do while constructing the model. Modeling is basically the process of identifying and expressing mathematical terms. So you have objective and you have variables, and you try to restrict the constraint to these activities. As an example, when you are doing an optimization, you need to clarify few activities. As an example, let's suppose you are trying to maximize the profit that you have. So here your objective is to maximize the profit. Now, while maximizing the profit, you try to restrict few of the things, like your selling price should always be greater than cost price. This is one of the constraints that you have. Your particular product should always be sold at a minimum this much margin. This is again constraint you have. So you will be subjecting down your original objective, which is maximization of your profit, and other subject to constraints. The constraints are: this product should be less than the price of the product should be greater than this, the price of the product should be less than this, and all these activities. Basis your constraints and your objective, you will be creating a relationship, and which ultimately will lead to the optimized equation and will tell you what price of the commodity that you should have to maximize your final profit. When you are doing optimization, you will be first determining the problem type and then deciding the software that you will be using. There are various type of softwares, like you can use Solver, and even Excel supports these optimization activities. So once your objective function is defined, once your constraints are defined, you can easily use one of these tools to create an optimization which can give you the appropriate margin by which you can play and still can get maximum profit. So once your optimization model is finalized, what you will be doing and how you will utilizing it, you will be first defining the objective function, wherein either you will be going the maximum attributes or the minimum attributes. We took an example of maximum attribute, wherein we tried to maximize the profit. Then we will define the constraints, like your cost price should be this much, less than this much, your product price should be greater than this much. Once all those things are finalized, then you will be using the one of the tool like Solver and all to create an optimized model. Once your optimized model is defined, you will be able to understand how much of the maximum profit you can get while controlling the other constraint. Once your data is assembled, you will be able to take the right decision with respect to the model that you have created. Your optimization actually helps you in planning and removing of the various factors, and you are able to understand how much of the maximum profit you can get by controlling a few of the variables. It can help you plan the various activities and can help you improvise the operational activities. Once all the models are created with respect to the problem that you had, you could be having a optimization problem, or you could be having a text mining problem, or you could be having a forecasting problem, or you could be having a prediction problem. Once your model is prepared, you will be moving to visualization patterns, which is basically showcasing the results. So while doing visualizations, you will be generating the insights or the outcomes of your data. So it activates your creative subconsciousness. So visualization becomes extremely important. It shows your creative activities. And once your creativity is shown, people are able to understand what exactly you are trying to convey. So your story is easy to explain once you are converting it into a form of visualization. It also helps in creating a more attraction. So the population to whom you are addressing the problem, they will be able to understand your story in a much efficient manner because they are able to see and able to grasp the knowledge that you are trying to impart. There are various type of visualization technique that you can use. You can create a goal picture that, as an example, you are trying to explain how your customers are moving out of your system, how your consumers are losing or how your consumers are churning. So you will be starting a story with in that way. That, as an example, you say that we lost X amount of people in last 2 years, which if would have stayed would have given us the sale of Y amount. So this creates a motivation. Then you start showing the graphs or visualizations that we had these many people dropped out because of reason one, these many people dropped out because of reason two, these many people dropped out because of reason three. Once all these things are patterned and arranged in a sequential manner with a solid visualization platforms, you will be able to tell your story in a more appropriate manner. When we are going through the visualization, once you have set up the goal and when you have explained the complete story using the graphs, using the picturization that you have created, and you have created a step-by-step approach to reach to the solution, the story will be easily conveyed to the final stakeholders and they will be easily able to understand what exactly is the problem areas and what exactly is the positive areas. And then you can close your story using the visualization activities that you have done. With this, we come to the end of this session. Let's quickly summarize what we have understood in this session. So we have understood the various components of business analytics. The various components includes the data aggregation, wherein we try to aggregate the data and understand the data. Then we mine that data to create the patterns, which could be associations, sequential, or there could be text mining activities that will be happening, wherein you will be cleaning the text data and then using the appropriate technique to find out the results out of it. One of the activities could be sentiment analysis. Then you could be using the forecasting technique or predictive analytics techniques, or there are few ways or few areas wherein you might need to use optimization by deciding the objective function and then figuring out the constraints which decides your objective functions. And then at the end, the visualization story that will help you complete the story. Once your story is completed, you will be able to explain the results to the final stakeholders and they can take decisions accordingly. I hope you understood. Thank you.